Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is September 1st. I am just always amazed how fast time goes. I had a gal the other day call me. She said, which is fun. She said, does it seem that it's getting, that we age faster and faster every year, and that our summers go faster and our winters go slower? And and I said, well, I guess it is a perspective. And it truly, after I started thinking about it, how many of you have children and you're waiting, and they're waiting for a holiday gift giving? And a lot of us out here listening do celebrate Christmas. And I remember when my kids were little, they were waiting for Christmas, and the months and days would go so slow. They'd start counting like June and July. And they knew that as soon as school started, they would have the holidays. And it was so exciting for them. I remember nowadays you go and buy school supplies and they have Halloween stuff up already. So it is a little ominous to see all that. But I do remember the kids were very excited. And as soon as school started, they knew the holidays were coming and then the big Christmas. And I imagine most of you get hounded from kids, or not hounded, that's kind of like the inappropriate word, encouraged by the children to look at their Christmas list way until late October, 1st of November. So, hi, Kathy. Yes, I see you. I have a new guest, 1521, and Ms. Adams and Ms. Ryder. Hello, dear. And all my friends are on here. 209. Oh, there you are, girl. Okay. We're just going to wait a few more minutes until the people, I know that everybody's on. I'll have to talk to Dell and get a pretty little piece of music in. I've listened to quite a few Blog Talk shows, and some of them have some really lovely music. I was on one of the shows listening to it, and she had 5 minutes of music. Kind of think that's a little more than what I could handle sitting here waiting for everybody to click in, because, you know, I like having the spotlight and just talking. And I do have a couple of really great, great letters to share with you tonight. And the caller in, I'm going to wait for her to say that she wants to talk. My voice is a little soft tonight. A few days ago, I had 2 days of a lot of talking clientele. And then in my neck of the woods, I think most of you know, you're there, okay. Most of you know I'm by Tombstone, Arizona, and we've had a most amazing storms. So I told my husband, I says, I wonder if we have mold or something. He says, you know, when you say mold, it makes me think of mildew and the creepy crawly little plants growing everywhere. And I think it's wrong. I don't think it's mildew as much as wetness. And my voice, poor thing, it's just, I was commenting to Ms. Adams today. I said, it's not a matter of when I retire. It's a matter of how long my voice will work. So here we are tonight. And I got 2 cups of coffee here. Oh, hello there. Oh, Black Widow's in. And oh, we have another guest, 1564 and 1521. Hello, everybody. Well, we have at least 7 in the box. I got how many listeners? We've had an amazing turnout of listeners. I'm so tickled, all you guests coming on. And Jenny is on. And over the course of the last few weeks, I've had between 75 and 100 people listening to the show. So we are growing. And if you like a show, you can always download it. And if you ask a question and it's on the air, you can always look at the clock and go back and share that. And with a gal named Darlena, I was hoping that she would have a chance to share with her mother. And that's one of the letters I wanted to share with, how tickled I am that I'm able to help people in grieving. I've been a psychic all my life, and I was into this arena in 1990. Within a few weeks, people asked me about spirit people, and I was labeled a psychic. It was very hard for me to hear that word. And then, hello, everybody in the room, got some more authentic living coach. Hello, dear. Then someone had the, thought, well, she can also see spirit people, so now we're going to call psychic medium. Of course, it was so foreign to me to say, hear those words, and clearly that's an area I just love, is helping people in grieving. So Darlena call, pardon me, Darlena, if you're in the room tonight, say hello to me, dear. She sent me a lovely testimonial, and I will put this on my testimonials, the whole thing. She's a young woman, 44, and I had talked to her. I'm looking at the letter. It's pretty lengthy, so I didn't want to read it, but I did want to share with you that it is wonderful to be able to help. There are so many talented people. Last time, or it was one of the other shows I was on, someone said, what do you think of other psychics and other mediums? I said 99% of them are God-fearing good people who want to help. And every town in America, every neighborhood, there's got to be somebody, even if it's your best friend sitting across from you at a table, or a gentleman at work, someone who has a sales career, how magical some people seem to work in the arena, to have to be intuitive. It's just the few of us that have that need of wanting to help. And because I had cancer and went through a divorce and trouble in my life, I realized how important it was that if I had the gift, I needed to share it. And my little friend Paula, I hadn't heard from her this weekend. She was going to call me, so if you're in, girl, let me know. She talked to me one day, and I had to make a choice, and I didn't realize at the time how big this would be. And she says, Nancy, if you can do this, how can you think of staying with the telephone company? Go do what you're meant to do. And at that time, I made the decision to leave the telephone company in 92. I didn't know I was going to live from the cancer. And so she and I talked about it, and I realized that if I only had 5 years left to live, I'd rather help people. And that was in 92 that I left a 24-year career to do this full-time. And Darlena is one of the examples on why it's so important that if you have the gift, train. But remember, you take the information that God gives you, don't judge it. And it's very hard sometimes to do that. And she says in here, you said that my mother's grandmother who raised her, you thought, was waiting for her. You are dead on in every respect, no pen intended. When my great-grandmother eased into her final days, she promised my mom that she'd be waiting for her on the other side. Just as you told me, she indicated to you. There's no way you would have known of the things you told me, and quite frankly, I'm amazed. Wow. You know, that's the kind of response that keeps me wanting to keep going. And I told the gal the other day, I said, you know, I plan on working at least 10 more years, at least 10. But with that comes responsibility of never wanting to be wrong. And so if you get into this, do it lightheartedly, help. But then get to a place that if you feel uncomfortable, back off until you get comfortable. That level of comfort is so important. Because if you judge yourself, you'll judge how you get the information, and you'll judge how to give it. And that's when it can hurt. Also with that, and clearly, I know that Ms. Adam is on I'm looking at the chat room, seeing if I'm missing anything. If you kids want me to answer a question, you have to cap it. I'll notice and put my computer glasses on so I can see. And the other one I want to talk about tonight is how elusive. A few weeks back, I was talking to you, and I said, how amazing it is to be able to do readings at all. And a gentleman in New York who I talk to quite frequent, he said to me, psychic readings is very interesting. You can see the psychic walk up to the river, and the river is quite wide. And if you step into the shoreline where the sand and the water just gently touch, then you're looking at things as they will happen today. And then if you step further into the river, you'll notice the current picks up, and that will take you weeks and months. But if you go into the body of the river where you can't see clearly to the bottom and the current is harder and faster, if you step into that, you go weeks, months, and even years and not know it. So the other letter tonight is from a gal that's in the chat room, and I'll put her on if she'd like. And there's a couple things we want to talk about. And she sent me also a lengthy letter, and I will put this on my testimonials. I'm kind of behind a few months, and I have a dozen at least I need to put up. And this is about a gal who 7 to 9 years ago, I told her about a situation coming into her, someone coming into life. And I said in the letter, she says in the letter, you told me someone I knew would be coming to me when I'm older to tell me how he really feels. But at the time I thought I was older, but you kept telling me no when you're older. Anyway, he describes the person to me by the description. I completely did not recognize this person. You told me he would come to me and tell me how he really feels. Well, this goes on. Anyway, she goes on down here, and then he says, well, he did come, and he looked exactly just the way you described him. Of course, he was older, too, which is why I didn't know him when you were describing him to me years earlier. And he did tell me everything I wanted to know. Now, that's the magic of this, is that sometimes I will describe somebody today, and they may show up 5 years, but with sprinkles of gray, but 99% of the time, I describe the person as they'll show up as I'm looking through your eyes at that person. That's really a fun. And the thing is this has happened a few times. One was Linda, who worked for Rayleigh's in Sacramento, as now living on the East Coast, like I told you she would, told her she would. And the thing is that time sometimes slows very fast the further you go into the river's current. And at the time I gave Ms. Adams the, there I got another call coming in the chat room, hello, I went further down the road. And when this did happen, she reflected, oh my gosh, I do remember what Nancy said. The unfortunate part was she didn't believe it could happen, that happiness wasn't going to be for her, and I must have been reading somebody else. So she threw away the tape, and she missed out what I had said about the relationship. So when she called me up, which was kind of amazing, because I want to have her on so she can share with you why she's calling, is that maybe the universe wanted her to know the man was showing up, but maybe the universe didn't want her to have an idea what the outcome was, so she'll act on it spontaneously and without my having to tell her what the next move will be, because free will, though limited in the universe and very small at times, is important that you take full reign of it. I have a friend, she's a spirit person, her name is Donna, and she lives in Sacramento. She died in 2001. On my website, I have it, nancymatz.com, there's an expression, and it's a definition of free will, and I paraphrased it after she told me it, because I had a talk with her, and I went home, and I went, oh my gosh, that's the most important statement. Couldn't remember exactly what she said, but paraphrasing it was, the definition of free will is the anxiety of the choices that you have to make to the end result I can already see. Isn't that an amazing statement? And over all these years, sometimes if I don't get the end result, it's because you have to battle it out to the end and have all the free will. I can't take it from you because I'm not positive I know how much there is. So I think that's an amazing, amazing statement. 209, the second caller, 957 prefix. If you can hold on, I would like Ms. Adam come on, and I'm going to let you hello there, Crazy Dave, Canadians Rock, Angel Wings in, hello everybody. I want this gal, I'm going to click her on and let her tell you the reason why I am wanting her to talk to you. Do you visit? It didn't go on. Okay, I'll try it again. There you are. And I'm going to allow you to tell them a first name if you would like and your location. But the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I want her on. Are you on here, Ms. M? Hello?
Nancy. You wanting Nancy?
Yeah. Hello there.
Hi.
I'll let you tell them your first name if you want to share it, and the location if you wish to share it. I don't know how many of you have known me a long time, but I've given a lot of talks, and one of my favorite areas is near-death experiences. I've done a lot of study. One of my friends who's now passed away, Marilyn Crow, out of also Sacramento, we were talking one night quite late, and I'm kind of a night owl. When I feel good, I stay up late, and she passed away, I think, in 2004. Not long before that, we were talking one night, and she says, Nancy, did you know that you died at one time? I was wide-eyed. I went, oh, my gosh, because I have never shared my story with anybody. And she says, and I just let her talk, and she said, you feel like you were around 6 or 7 years old. And I said, really? And she said, yes, I feel like you came out of your body, and there was no stress, and the only thing I can pick up is that you are with somebody, and then that person says you must go back. Well, Ms. Am, that's the first time I've shared with most of the people that story. But what happened was is that my tonsils exploded in my throat, and I was in the hospital, and I was a pretty sick girl. My mother took me home, and unbeknownst to her, and remember, I'm a lot older than most of my audience here tonight, and what happened was that she had given me some aspirin to make me feel better. And then she put me to bed. Well, evidently, I almost bled to death during the night. And I remember having what I always thought was a dream. And I wake up, and I'm playing with this girl around a large fountain. Remember the fountains that you would see in Better Homes and Garden? And they have the little waterfall at the top. And there's quite a large area. You could almost get into it and walk around. When there's a little girl about my size, and we were just playing, and she looked at me, she says, well, I have to go, and so do you. And that's all I remember. But I've never been able to forget it. And what's really amazing, every detail is very precise. So after the cancer and the divorce and I got into this, one of the reasons I did, and I know I should get back to my chat room. I'm sure kids are in here wanting to ask me questions. But I want Ms. M to have a little bit more time here, is that my curiosity that if I had cancer, what would be the outcome if it were diagnosed late and it would be the end? So part of my journey is nancymats.com, but Ghosts, Goblins, and Spirits, and the other website, Proof of Soul Survival, is the investigation of the trueness of survival and what it's like to be on the other side. So as I had Roy on about a month ago, I would like you to share with the audience your experience. And then the other thing, if you want to bring in, is about your surgery and the lake. But that's your option. But can you go ahead and share your near-death experience with our group tonight? And you can call yourself whatever you want, Miss M.
Okay, yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Well, it started with a car accident. A drunk driver hit me and crushed my hip completely. And, of course, I was in the hospital. And as I was there, all of the fatty tissue from all the broken bones had lodged in my lungs. And at that point, my family called my sister. I was in California, and she lived in Ohio. They called and said, you better get here fast. Your sister looks, you know, it looks like your sister's not going to make it. So all I remember is waking up with tubes being, you know, shoved down my throat to try and get me to breathe. And my sister walked in the room, and I woke up instantly, and I looked at her. I go, you brought me out of it. I had no idea what she brought me out of. Mm. As she left Ohio and got on the plane, she just sat there going, please, I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want to talk about this. Please, no one talk to me. Lo and behold, the woman next to her started talking to her. And my sister ended up telling her what was wrong, and she started crying. And the woman's just like listening, and she goes, your sister's going to be fine. For some reason, it affected my sister, and she felt fantastic after that. Well, not fantastic, but she obviously felt better. So she gets off the plane and greets my brother and my father, who are crying, just crazy crying. And she looks at them. She goes, Nancy's going to be fine. So they felt better, too, so they come back to the hospital. At that point is when I woke up, and I said, you brought me out of it, which was crazy. And we didn't realize what had happened till years later, and when we talk about it now, we still get chills. But when I was in the hospital before they, I guess, were resuscitating me, I did see that white light. That white light is as bright as the sun, if not brighter, but yet you can look right at it. It doesn't feel cold. It doesn't feel warm. But the message that I did receive was that the only thing that you take with you is all the love you feel. You
for
know,
your,
not your favorite
for
wallet.
Others. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You mean for a favorite wallet? What was that again?
I said not your favorite wallet, not your favorite car. None of that goes with you. Your money, your bank account, nothing. It's just all the love that you've ever felt is what goes with you.
Let me ask a couple of things. Now, you did share with me your age, and this is at least 25 to 30 years ago, and it sounds like you have a very clear memory of the white light and traveling there. But I'm kind of curious. I know I'm going to stretch you to make you think here. Did you ever have a sense of your body when you were in travel in the tunnel?
I didn't, no.
No. And when you were going through the tunnel, did you notice smooth walls, rough walls, walls that were moving, or was it just a tunnel, or was it immediately just a big bright light?
I didn't have a tunnel. I didn't have walls. I just had this fantastic white light where everything was good. Nothing was wrong. There were no problems. I mean, it was just perfect, you know. If you could think of the perfect place to be, it wasn't warm. It wasn't cold. It was perfect. There were no problems. There was nothing. It was just love. It's Just a lot of love.
Well, the
and
thing
the
I'm,
light.
The thing is I'm curious. When you had a sense that love is the only thing you can appreciate and take with you, clearly it's love that you have for people, but the love that people gave to you. Did you have a sense that someone was telling you this, or was it a perception of yours?
It was a perception.
Uh-huh. Did you ever see a grandmother or anybody there telling you to go back?
Not at that point, but I've had more than one near-death experiences. No, I didn't see anyone then, no. It was just the light, just the love, just the peace, and
mm-hmm.
that was all.
This is an interesting statement. I just saw a comment in the chat room. She called us kids. Well, as you get older in life, for a long time, I remember people were always older than I am, but now I have noticed that most people are younger than I am. But I do want the audience to know that you were 19 when this happened, and during the subsequent years, as with Roy, you have had other near-death experiences. Now, when I had my episode at 6, I did have subsequent hospitalizations. And most people aren't aware of this. I actually had appendicitis on the heels of 2 surgeries, and I was planned for a 3rd one at the time I had my cancer. And Marilyn had told me that I'd had a near death during the night of the appendicitis attack. Of course, I remember nothing, but what got my attention with that is that she didn't know I was in the hospital during that short period of time. So sometimes you remember, sometimes you don't. You don't know why she would pick that up. Maybe I came to the door in the brink. Nancy, you know, I've shared with you today, I was talking to you, and I was sharing with you how I talked to the audience about your very unique surgery and the outcome. Do you want me to tell a story, or you want to go ahead and share that?
You tell it, Nancy, because I think you remember it a little bit better than I do about what
I
said in the hospital. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the final surgery. And Nancy has been so gracious to let me tell this story, but I've been telling over the years. We kind of, after you know, people move about, and everybody can still find me. My website always is my name, and so people can find me. But over the years, when I talk about how it is and feels to be in a place of in between, like you're passing over and you're going forward, and the reason I asked Nancy, did you have a perception of her body? Half the people I talk to say they do not have a perception of the body. And the other people say they go forward in the tunnel with their face, but they feel like there's something with them, but they don't necessarily see the entire body. So I found that I did ask that for a reason. I did ask that for a reason. And though you and I need to talk about this, I do see a woman in your peripheral vision when you go through the light. So I will describe her later on privately. So I want to get on with the story, but at 19, you had this terrible accident, and which leg was it? Your left leg, is that right?
Right.
Correct.
Yes, left leg.
Left leg, yes. I remember, because I remember visiting the hospital and thinking it was your left leg. It was terribly crushed, and the hip bone was crushed, and the knee was crushed, and the setting of it, and it was just a mess. I know you had subsequent surgeries to replace with titanium the socket and the hip and everything. And I remember you talking to me once. You said, Nancy, something's wrong with my knee. And I tell people that I'm not a doctor, but I do have vision, which is very strange. And I said, oh, my gosh, your knee looks like cottage cheese inside. Do you have arthritis? Do you have an infection? And you said, oh, I don't know, but it really hurts me. Well, today you had told me that you had gone to the doctor because you felt a crack in the kneecap. And during the operation and subsequent surgeries, you had had a crushed knee and there was a crushed bone, and it was just a mess. And after we talked, your knee swelled up quite large, and the vision I'm given is kind of like a cauliflower look. So you went back to the doctor. Unfortunately, you got cancer, and they took the entire damaged leg off from the accident. And remember, it was the left leg that was crushed. It was the left leg that was the hip that had to be replaced 2 or 3 times. And before it was diagnosed with cancer, you prayed to God one day, and you said, you told me today, that is, you said, you know, God, this has been really hard on me. I'm a young woman. I have children. I have to be moving about. Please, would you send me a doctor to get them to fix this? so I don't have to suffer anymore. And your genuineness when you told me that for the first time today was really profound, because I remember those years you were going through an awful lot and had like little tiny children. And after that prayer, then the knee happened, and the knee got worse and worse. So you called me up, and your sister talked to me, and we went to the hospital, and we visited you, and I remember, and you were so proud. You'd survived the surgery, and you were happy. And sometimes, you know, you hadn't told me about this prayer, and you said, you know, you got to watch out what you ask God for, because I told God, please don't let me have any more surgeries on my leg. I don't want to ever have the hip replaced again. And then you got cancer, and now you are surgery free because you don't have to worry about the leg anymore. And you said to me, you know, you got to watch what you ask for. Well, what I want to get back to is that you've also been a topic of many of my discussions over the years. Spirit told me that, do I miss my hair when I cut it off? Do I miss my fingernails when it falls, you know, hair falls into the bucket, and my nails, and you clip them? I said, no, I have no identification to that. And when you had had the surgery and I went to visit you and you had a smile and you were surviving and you were very cheery, just a lovely girl. And in the prime of your early 30s, you were just radiant because you knew you were going to live. This is going to be hard. And you said, Nancy, do you want to see the stitches? And I went, well, I don't know, maybe. And you had the biggest stitches I've ever seen in my whole life. I don't know if there were hundreds of them. But you can appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, if the leg is taken up off at the hip socket. So I said, well, Nancy, where is your leg? And you told me, you said, well, they put it in the freezer. And I said, why would they do that? And you said, well, they're going to let me decide if I want to keep it, because then I can keep it. I can get buried with it one of these days. And I looked at her and I said, wow. And I said, do you miss your leg? And you said, well, not now. Around 3.5-4 months later, and I kept in touch with you and I wanted to know how you're doing. And I called you up and we talked and I said, well, what happened with your leg? Did you decide what you wanted to do with it? And you quirked back just fast. And you said, no, just have them burn it up. Actually, I don't remember if you said grind it up or burned it up. And I remember thinking, really? And here I had vision of it being wrapped up in someone's freezer for the next 50 years. And you do remember the conversation with that. And I said, well, do you miss that? And you said to me the most profound statement. You said, you know, I never think about it. And when they called me up and asked me what I wanted to do, I had no qualms. I just wanted to get rid of it. It must have represented illness, it must have represented the bad acts, it must have represented the cancer. But what's important, ladies and gentlemen, for the totality of who Nancy is, for all she's gone through, she did not miss a great big part of her body. And she's normal build, she looks like me, so we're just normal size. You know, you talk about instant diet, that's 30 pounds, right? Boom, just like that, or whatever it weighed. And it occurred to me, you know, we put so much onto our body that we are our body. We are our looks. And even though I fuss over my hair and getting the right haircut, or I've gained too much to get in some of those pretty clothes I bought 10 years ago, 5 years ago, it is only the flesh that we decide to be in this lifetime with. And we haul around this hunk of flesh with us everywhere we go. And we're just wearing it just like the heaviest of coats. And you taught me one day, Nancy, you taught me it's not important. You taught me that what we're doing is witnessing life by having to have to wear this big hunk of flesh with us. And if it's broke, you just take it off. So when I had my cancer and I realized, you know, I look back on the cancer, well, I shouldn't miss what was taken from me. I should be okay that I can continue. So that's the message I want to give with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's her story about the gentleman who came into life so many years later. And remember that when a reading's given to you, you don't know always where the intuitive stepped into the river, along the shoreline where there's no current, or into the middle where the current is fast. The other thing to remember in tonight is that we do survive. We decided for this life, and we do survive, whether you want to, whether you believe in it at all, or whether religion is in your life, with or without it. And the idea of Darlena calling and getting verification that as the loved ones in her family pass over, that this garment that we call flesh that we're just hanging on to, we have to haul it everywhere we want to go, haul it here, haul it there, that is what it is. It is our garment. And if you have an illness, get over it, get done with it, because it is your flesh. And flesh, just like anything else, like the refrigerator or the kitchen sink, or even a pencil lid that breaks, we have to fix it, we have to go on with our life. And these two stories are actually amazing. And I wanted to thank you, Nancy, for coming on board and giving your first name. So we both Nancy's, and we will keep in touch. And it's fun to think that you girls could share her story tonight. All right, Nancy?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. Sure. Your body doesn't make you who you are. Your spirit, your soul does. So having a body part missing has only made me better, if that's believable or not. But I don't know how else to stress that. You know, women are upset over, you know, a breast being removed or, a finger or whatever, whatever. But that doesn't make you who you are. Because if I sit down and someone doesn't see my amputated leg, they're mm-hmm. talking to me. I am who I am anyway. And when I stand up and that leg is gone, I still am who I am anyway. So I wish people wouldn't get so caught up on that. But mm-hmm. I want to say, and thank you, Nancy, for having me.
Oh, yes, you're lovely. Talk to you later, dear. I got your number.
Okay. Bye-bye.
What a fun guy. I did see in here that someone has had some surgery. There's 10 people in the chat room tonight. And remember I said it might be a smaller group, which is it gives you girls and gentlemen a little bit more time with me now. We have a half hour, and I don't mind staying for a couple more minutes, even though we may not be on the air, to answer questions for you. I had breast cancer, and it did disfigure me a little bit, but it didn't change me. And I was only 39. And, of course, it attacked the sensibility of who I am as a woman. So the little lady that had female surgery, until we don't feel like that's important anymore, of course it would be important. I've known people who lost eyes, and someone in particular, Donna had lost an eye. Her husband went hunting and smacked her in the face with a butt of a rifle, and she lost her eye. And instead of being frightened with it, she put one in, and it wasn't solid. And we never knew what eye was looking at us. And so she had fun with it. I know it's hard to hear it that way. So I love these stories. It makes me who I am. It makes me stay. People said to me, oh, Nancy, all you have to do is talk. I take my job very seriously. I'm always as accurate as I can possibly be. Possibly my being an artist and possibly an engineering background allows me to look at detail a little better. But I'm just like everybody else. If you know someone's intent is true, they'll give you the information as true as they can. And I think that's the key to success, okay? As I was joking with somebody, I said, you know, the joke's on me. I really didn't think I'd be alive this long. And now it's 20 years later since my surgery. And God has given me a gift. I'm continue doing this. It's very tiring at times. But I do love helping you. So that's all there is, okay? So the people that are in the room, there's 10 of you, and I don't know if there's men or women listening. So go ahead. If you have questions for me, you know I love doing the chat room. Is there anybody in the chat room? Just as I said that, I got a sense of rain and water. You know, we've had so much monsoon here that they've promised us we may be leaving the monsoon. And you kids, remember the time week before last, we had a terrible storm. And I didn't even know I was going to be able to stay on the air. And I had left the window open. We had thunder, lightning, raining come in. And California, from Sacramento area, they've been dry since, I think, March, which is unbelievable to me. So, Kathy, I'll get to you. Let me get to this. Nancy, do you find my youngest son, I already got an answer, finding a good trade to get out on his own? I do see him in a trade, T-R-A-D-E. So I don't know if he's a journeyman or not, working with his hands and body. So as you're thinking of your youngest son, that's what I'm picking up on him. Please get him out of the house, Kathy. But I want to go to the phone line. And 209 area code, who's this speaking? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll try again. Let's hope the... okay, 209, who's this speaking?
Nancy?
Yeah.
Oh, Nancy, this is Laura. I'm Nancy's sister.
Oh, hi. I love it that you were calling me. Hello.
Hi, Nancy. It's so nice to talk to you.
Nancy, it's been a while, my dear. Love you.
Absolutely. She wanted to listen to the story, and the only thing that was different that she kind of forgot to tell you is that when I was on that plane, this lady, she was very well dressed. She was writing a speech, and what she said was true. I didn't want to be disturbed because of my thoughts only for Nancy, you know, and I could see nothing else but her well-being, and I was terrified. And this lady picked up on that, and when she turned to me, and I was a bit annoyed, but she looked directly into my eyes, and that minute I knew without a shadow of a doubt that she was going to be fine. And so when I left the plane, Nancy, and I tried to find her and turn around and thank her, I mean, we were all together. She was behind me. This woman was nowhere to be found. She just literally disappeared.
My word. Oh, my gosh. You know, I have stories, and I do believe that angels walk among us.
Right.
That are spirit kind, and I'm not positive I know how a manifestation of living flesh versus spirit kind.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some kind of magic in the universe and physics that we've yet to figure out. So if this was a spirit person, then clearly there was a visitation here for you. And Nancy was never meant to die. But also, I teach a lot on energy. I believe that energy reflects trueness. That Deepak Chopra said once, as you think it, so will you become. And I really believe from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot, if you believe there's death among us around your family and you walk into that arena with death in your mind, then that ill person could pick it up. Now, passing of someone terribly ill and older, that's allowed. But when it's a 19-year-old youngest sister, I can appreciate that this angel being or this woman, who her role was to change your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And was it there? You have a brother that also was going to meet up with you. And
my brother and my father were crying hysterically. And when I looked in their eyes, I transferred that same feeling of energy to them. And they stopped crying. My father says, you know, it's very strange, but I believe you. He says, I feel better now. And that Nancy did say it accurately. It was just incredible.
And that's what Nancy said was that when she woke up.
Exactly.
When she woke up without thinking, she said that you had brought her back. That's even for me to figure out. You know, I just don't know everything. And for her to say something like that, it sure makes you kind of wonder. Well, I want to bring up one more thing here. It makes you wonder the destiny on what her lesson is or why she had experienced that, or did she choose the body so this would be part of her lesson? I mean, those kinds of questions are so big. I can understand why I got cancer is because the destiny was to be in here, and I was still in a marriage. I was meant to be in the marriage, but only for so long. Who would want to know that? But I was speaking earlier of free will, and I remember talking to you about your first marriage or marriage to Mr. J, and I remember saying that he was going to move out and that you would be apart, then he would come back in your life.
Right.
Do you want to share that real fast and let people know what I was picking up and didn't know? Or do you want me to tell it real quick?
Well, go ahead and tell it, but in the meantime, he has passed away.
Right, and you had a marriage just like everybody young gets married, and we're the same age, so a lot of us get married right out of college, and we did. And human beings just drift apart, and you had the marriage you were meant to have, and one day you just kind of shook hands and said, okay, we're apart. And that was before. After I had said this, and then years had passed, and he unfortunately got sick, and he called you up because he needed you back in his life, and our perception of what we thought the future would be, would that you would be a couple again, but not necessarily a couple as in a hospice situation, but my prediction was correct, but my interpretation of what the universe wanted me to know was limited. Because the universe wouldn't let me see the outcome because I was not meant to know it.
Right.
It's like someone says to me, Nancy, am I going to win the lotto? And clearly I would love to win the lotto, and my husband would like to win the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
But no one could tell us because it's our journey to play and have the excitement of wanting or knowing that it's possible.
because the energy would change in our body, but we're not necessarily supposed to know the outcome. Mm-hmm. It's the same with you. You are supposed to be open to the idea that in the future your husband would seek you out again, your ex-husband.
Right.
But when he did, it was on a different level. And because of that, you had to reevaluate your roles in each other's life, and he did pass away.
Right.
So there is that moment of free will that I can only tell what the universe wants you to know at the time we are telling it. And I'm good enough, but I wasn't allowed to see his death, which was really amazing to me.
Right.
How's that, huh?
That's excellent. That's excellent. And it turned out to be the most magnanimous thing I've ever done in my life. I took him in and cared for him like an angel for 2 years. We were the closest we had ever been, and he had a glorious passing, which someday I'm going to write about because it was just so incredible.
Wow.
Well, Nancy, thank you. You've done it for me
as well.
Welcome,
Laura. I got your number, girl.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's a, how fun is that, that Nancy shared her story, but her sister Laura shared her story. These are friends that have gone back such a long time. Okay, I want to get to the chat room. I see I have another call on here. I'm not sure. Is that Nancy again? Anyway, I want to go back to a couple things I saw. This is a wonderful question. Angel Wing, do you believe in divine healing? Literally, divine healings. I actually do. Uh-huh. I actually know somebody, and one of the people I know, I'm not going to, actually, on my website, I have a page devoted to my grandmother. She was a silent screen movie star. She was in the serials, just like what we call the soap operas on TV. And she was a Christian Scientist, and so was my father. And she had been diagnosed with an ovarian cancer, ovarian or uterine cancer. Remember, she was born in 1901. And the healing group that she belonged to, she told the story to me so many years later, but she said, I was never really sure, but I'm still alive, so we must have done it, because she never went back to the doctor, and she was cured of it. At the time, the autopsy, at the time of her death, they did tell me that she had uterine cancer, that it must have been in remission, because when I was looking to get my ministry, I was studying under, God had directed me to go to Spirit of Grace in Citrus Heights, California, and the pastor's Ken and Ollie Keck. But when I looked to find my ministry, I felt like I needed to open up. So I looked into religious science, Christian science, unity, and, of course, the Spiritualist Association. And I felt like those practitioners, religious science was very, very close. I was considering religious scientists. I got all confused there. I was looking to be a practitioner. Religious science, ended up being a minister in the Church of the Living God, East Coast branch of the National Spiritual Association. So I do believe that there's power there, and it's a transfer of energy. Art Bell one night was 1996. I was driving home from a book signing quite late, and he asked for America to pray for Damian Brinkley. Damon Brinkley was in a hospital with a brain aneurysm. One had ruptured, but one was still large. And within a few days, Damon Brinkley completely recovered. And you could look up his story, and if it's possible, go back to 96, winter time, and see if you can find the show that Art Bell talked about, because he did survive that. So I don't know what is the trigger and how serious the disease. Clearly, an aneurysm in the brain is hard to cure. Cancer would be hard to cure. So think it, so you become. Maybe the power of mind of curing yourself has to be part of it. I absolutely believe that. Power of positive thinking. Jenny, that's happened a lot. That's how Darlena wrote her letter to me. Jenny is asking, can you read someone from this room, as in, is there anyone here that draws your attention just from their energy? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you do too. You're in the room a lot, and you do ask a lot, and I'm able to read you pretty easily. most of the readings have been from people asking questions in the chat room. And I'll get to 209 in just a minute and find out who that is. Anyway, there was one interesting, about 5 weeks ago, I was reading the chat room without you asking the questions, and then you kids, I'll call you kids again, were writing in telling me which one of you had the trouble with the roof. And Jenny, I thought it was you that had the house that was stormy, and there was tree branches hitting your house, and I was cautioning you about branches. And then I saw a house with water, thought it was pipes of some sort, and someone said there was pipes in the house that had trouble. So there was like a really amazing night when I was just reading the room. As I was saying just now, I feel like one of you people in here have a water problem. So I didn't know if one of you were calling from the Gulf States with the hurricane. So is that still going through it, you know? It's just really amazing. Like I said, I do love doing this. I do see I have a site phone number, so I want to get to the first call and see who's on the line here. I don't know if this is Phil Nancy or not. Is this Nancy, Phil? Are you back on the line? Nancy, did you come back on? Okay, so she is not there. So I'm going to go answer the number two line, and I know that will come in focus here in a minute. Hang up. Let me see how it, oh, okay. So I'm going to answer the line and see if I can help someone here. Hello there. Who's area code 111?
Hi.
Hello, who's this?
Domino.
Pardon me?
Domino.
Domino, what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Duval County, Florida.
In Atlanta, uh-huh.
Yes. And I
so are
calling...
you
getting... Huh?
So are you getting hit by their hurricane?
Yes, it's scary.
Is it scary? Wow.
Hmm?
You sound like a young person. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Oh, you have a great voice.
Oh,
listen, girl, you.
You
do. When you're my age, you'll have it. People think you're a young person. That's great. You got a lot of good energy. So what's your first what's your first name again? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you real clearly.
Huh?
What was the name? What was your name, first name again? One more time, hon.
Domino.
Domino. What can I do for you? Do you have a question for me?
Yes. What is your show about?
It's on the paranormal. It's like ghost goblins, readings, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, just about any topic, because most of the people out there now are really interested in the paranormal ghost investigations. We do that. I have a friend in California that I'm connected with, California, www.californiahaunts.org. So the books I'm writing are on survival of soul and spirit, ghost investigations, all kinds of paranormal. We talked of shadow people on California Haunts show and all kinds of extraordinary, wonderful things. Did you have a question for me about something on that?
Oh, yes, across the street, it was like 2 weeks ago, like it's just been abandoned house because this lady got killed across the street. And
ooh.
Some people went across the street, like, say, like, a little kid threw their ball over the gate or whatever, they went across there. Like, they say that they see the lady in their house and all that, still looking at them, staring at them, telling them.
Have you ever seen that lady?
No, I seen movement in the house. But...
Well, spirit people say to me that if they have unfinished business or they are confused, they will stay around. Did you say you live across the street from this house?
Well, is this such thing as ghosts?
Yes. Let me ask you, Dominic. Do you live across the street from this house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pick when the storm's over. I would love that you pick some beautiful flowers, put them in a bouquet, and I want you to walk across the street and ring the doorbell even though there's nobody there. I want you to put the flowers as close to the door, or if someone were to open the door from inside, they could see the flowers. And I want you to say out loud, I am so sorry that someone stole your life and you're now a spirit person. I want to give you permission because I brought you beautiful flowers. I want to acknowledge I want you to know that I know you're still in there, and I want you to look for the light and leave this old house. I want you to say it out loud, because I want her to hear that if she's still, I think she's still in there, even though she was killed. I think she's confused. I think she's walking back and forth making her coffee. And I want you to get some beautiful flowers so she can see them. You put it in the window, or she comes to the door. Remember, she'll think she has a door she can open. She'll see through the door, even though it never does open. And I want you to say to her, you don't no longer have life here. I want you to look for the light, and I want you to find your family. Tell her to leave. Can you do that for me?
Okay.
Do that and get back to me and let me know how it feels. You should, if she does do this, you personally will feel a shift as though someone's opening, closing, or like a shift in the energy. Let me know, okay? Call me back, girl.
Okay.
Take care of yourself. Thank you. Bye. Okay, I did see some people writing notes in here. Oh, hello, Miss Ryder. Oh, I know I talked to you about starting new pursuits, didn't I? To change my minute. Is there something I should pursue now to change my immediate financial situation? Oh, gosh. I wish I had, you know, I was talking to a gal. I do career development marketing. And I was talking to a gal who wants to start a new business. And I said to her, and this is how we have to do this, Ms. Ryder, is I want you to think how, what is your intent for success and financial security? How hungry are you? And that pursuit will open more doors for you. If there's fear in your mind of loss, it will block you from seeing what you could do. Then turn around to the yellow pages in the telephone book and ask the universe to help you find something. You open it up and you put your finger on it. If it's a job you're supposed to pursue or somebody you know that does that job, get something to change it because the universe will help you. Okay, I can't tell what it is because the universe won't let me see it. And I suspect that there's, have you the yellow pages of the telephone book? Oh, my gosh, there are so many jobs and so many things that you could do. Whether you work in a law firm as a clerk or a researcher, or you work for assembly, or you work for a police 911, or you work somewhere where people need you, all you have to do is think about it and it will be shown to you. Okay. Oh, what was that, Jenny? I've lost, let's see, how did that work? thank you. I think I lost some of the questions. Oh, my gosh, Jenny. Get back to me. I don't know what that meant. And, Miss, I think what happens is the chat room only allows so much, and then I was holding on to it. Let me see if I can pull this down and get some more of the window. Boy, I tell you, they just won't let you read everything at once. And so, some of the questions I might have lost. Kathy, you have such an interesting journey. You know, I know you're a widow and you have children still. I think if I said you're walking in place, but there's a broom on the floor and you have to step over it, and then there's another broom in your way and you have to step over it. And so I feel like you're still stepping over things and you're looking down. So even though you know where you're headed, you're not looking up to see how bright the road looks ahead. So what you want to do is release the things that are around you so you can look at the path without stepping over brooms in your way. Because once you look up and you see how bright it is, what is on the floor blocking you will no longer be shown. Okay. I am thinking real estate. In, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that first. If you do get into it, find someone who is exceptionally strong and help them as an assistant first. Because in some areas of the United States, I talk to every state, and there's a lot of areas that are hurting. But I always found it interesting that the ones who are most successful always need help. If they're that successful, you could be an assistant even for a month to get on your feet. You'll learn the tricks of the trade, even in the poorest area. And you're just lovely. You also have a little heavy energy around you. I don't know if it's a financial thing, but you're a little sad. Your heaviness, it looks like your energy around you is sad. I'm not sure what that's about. It's a heavy feeling to me. So best of luck to you. The living coach has written a little note in there. Angel and I were wondering if we would be going through divorce. Wow, are you a gentleman then, or are you a couple living together? Angel and I were wondering if we would be going through divorce. I don't know how to answer it on live TV, live radio here. Are you married to each other, or are you married to others? That's really tough. Do you want to go through a divorce? Give me something I can put my teeth into. And Kentucky lady, I saw you were headed to Italy. Yahoo girl. Get your camera and take a picture of that house as I saw. I love it. So get back to me. I know you're leaving probably in the morning. Okay. What's that one? Nancy's in tune tonight. What did I say? Did you get that, Ben? Kathy. All right. You all understand what I'm saying, Kathy. Good, good, good. Angela, you send me the typing it again. Okay. I did pick it up. Okay. About the heavy energy around you. So I don't know what that means, girl. Okay. Kentucky, hello, Nancy. I was saying that I was going to Italy tomorrow. It is tomorrow in the morning. I love it. I can almost feel you there. If you have Snipe on your computer, if you guys call me, I'll love to hear from you or email me. Black Widow, I feel there's something I need to address. ASAP, do you know what this is? Oh, my gosh. When I read people and they say to me, Nancy, read the future in this relationship or men, and I see, this is very interesting, Black Widow. There was a gal, she called me up, her name was Jean. Genie, like a genie in the lamp. And she used to say to me, Nancy, seize the knots on the rope. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful way to say that. So each thread, thought, action has a string of energy in the universe. So we kind of look like a broom made of straw. And the back which we lived is all bristled up. And we're the knot. And the future is the wooden handle. But on that handle, as it is all wrapped up tight, so you can't see individual strings, energies of incidences yet to happen. And you are right. Very soon, within the next couple of days, there's a bubble or a large knot in your life that is something you need to take care of. Do I know what it is? Yet, a very perceptive person like yourself and all the other people that get in my room because of what I'm about, we're very intuitive. You're feeling something happening, whether it is something coming to you or unexpected visitation. It may not be anything you need to do as much as something is coming for you or to you. So I'm not sure if I'm talking about, you have to let me know, Black Widow, because I love this. Let me know if you have unexpected company or an action that you need to do because someone brings it to you. And I do feel like within this week. So you're absolutely right. Something will need to be done. And Kentucky Lady, changes already happening. Oh, I wonder, Kentucky Lady, how's your weather, huh? Oh, things are happening. Yahoo! I see your next statement, finally. Okay. Angeling, not to each other. Gosh, you kids ask me great questions. No, we are not together. We both just had the same question. Wow, that makes sense. I don't know how, if you're friends or you just happen to be sitting, one of you has an issue of separation coming, whether it's a divorce from work or divorce from a partner or a marriage. One is on the brink of that happening now. Yes, very soon. Probably before next summer, probably before next Christmas. There is a change for one of you soon. Get back to me. Which one? Oops, there we go. Which one it is. Now I see Angel Wing saying we are married to people and you are both ladies. So one of you and both friends, a living coach, you may be the one that has change, okay, and very soon. The other one, the other lady friend here saying that you want the divorce, you may not be able to make it happen until you sort it out first, okay, sort out stuff first. And you may not get to do this for a year, okay? And then Kathy says, oh, you two make a great couple. Well, then if you're a couple, you're married to other people, go slow. If you are a couple, I find that sometimes couples will break up from the trauma of having one of you go through a divorce. So if you are a couple, the one that's close and the one that goes through the divorce source of the separation, back off just a little bit and give that person space. Because the emotionality of trying to keep a coupleship going, then the divorce going, sometimes can pull you apart, okay? I want to get to the, oh boy, so I'm not on the air anymore. Okay, show is on but not streaming. Let me see if I can get this 301 area code on.
Oh, good, that's me.
Oh, is that you? Hello?
Oh, I heard you. Oh, you can hear me. Oh, great.
Well, sir, I didn't know if I could be on. Hold on a minute. Stay in the room if you'd like, and I'll answer questions in chat room. So, anyway, who am I talking to, girl?
Hi, my name is Lisi.
Well, hello. What state is 301 area code?
This is Maryland, Waldorf, Maryland.
Well, hello there. What can I do for you tonight?
I really have a burning question about my relationship. You know, I know that he has cheating on me and stuff. But he's still cheating on me because my father. And, I don't know, I really want my relationship to go well, but still in my back of my mind and the way how I feel, you know, I was pick with him, and, you know, that's
okay. Do me a favor, because I never know for sure if I'm going to lose you. Can you tell me his first name?
Oh, his first name? My first name or his first name? My first name. His first name is Derek.
Derek? Oh, that's my son's name. That's a good name. Let me share some of the things with you. This is a confused young man. He's not always going to know what he really wants. He has what we call a young soul. He does love with you. He does care for you, even love you. He does want you. At the moment, he is not emotionally connected to anybody else but you. The problem is, I don't know how long he could be true. So the problem is that he's created a lot of disharmony with you, and now it's up to him to prove to you that he can be the man you want him to be. My concern is that he's already damaged the relationship. So give it another 3 to 6 months and you'll have your answer. Okay?
Okay.
All right, dear.
Do you ever see us in the future of being, you know, husband?
I can't tell. God won't let me see it. I think there's some damage. If you can stay with him and he can be true, you can make it happen. But I'm not sure he can do that. He just really likes the ladies.
Mm.
It's not something he can't help. It's something he has to work at. Okay? I'm sorry, sweetie. Let me let you go. Be fair with him and let him prove to you he can be the man for you. He's the one who has to do the work, not you.
I know. I don't know what else to do. I'm just so afraid.
You don't have any power here. You can't do anything else. You have to wait and see what he does. Okay, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Oh, I don't know if she's... okay, let's see here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.